This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
The orchestra is in tune to KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland. And it is just after 11 o'clock on a Monday evening, time for KBOO's Radio Theater Hour. Tonight, the fourth Monday, it's the Sudden Radio Project. This is the first episode of our 12th year of locally written, performed, and produced radio theater.
Is it?
It's the purser, madam.
What do you want?
You've been invited to the captain's table for lunch, madam. Dinner.
Me? Lunch with the captain? Dinner?
Dinner. In 1 hour.
I don't know the captain. Why should he invite me to his table?
I'm not sure I can say, madam. Dinner starts promptly at 9.
Thank you.
Very good, madam.
Why is the captain... Wait a minute. The captain? The captain? The captain of what? Is this a stateroom? How did I get here? I'm on a boat? A cruise liner? Have I been abducted? Do I have dementia? I've been forgetful, but... This is scary. I'm afraid to open the door. Jesus! Who put me in these pajamas? Is this my stuff all around? Are those my... They are my clothes. This wouldn't have happened to us if you were still alive, Jimmy. You always made sense of things for me, for us. God, I miss you. It would be 45 years next week. Wait, 45? I think so. Better get dressed. I think I'm hungry. What's the penalty for not coming to the captain's table on time? Do we walk the... What is it? The plank? That's it. Maybe I've been kidnapped and we're on a Soviet tanker as part of some kind of slave ring like in that TV show. Oh, hell. What would they want with someone like me? They're kidnapping teenagers, Romanian teenagers like in that show. I guess I'd better get dressed. They are my clothes. Are they? Looks like my size, anyway. Have I accepted this? Have I? Jesus. My hand looks different. Is that my hand? Where's Amir? Is it me? Am I me? There must be Amir here somewhere. On the back of... There. It is me. But... Is something different? I think this is how I see myself. That's odd. Still, something isn't quite right. I hope the whiskey is right. These clothes are like mine, but not quite. Better. Better taste. I'm impressed. I will impress. Clothes make the man. But who will I impress? Still, something. Maybe it's the skin. Do my hands even match? Something about the texture.
What the? What's that?
The door. Knocking on the door.
Door? To our bedroom? Holy shit, what is this place? Where the hell are we, Derek? Wait, Derek, wake up.
Oh, God. Now what? You are drunk. We stayed at... This isn't Colin's guest room.
Excuse me, sirs.
What? Who are you? What do you want?
I'm the purser, sir. You've been invited to the captain's table. Dinner begins promptly at 9.
Okay, right. The captain?
Precisely. The ship's captain has invited you to dine at his table.
The ship? What fucking ship?
Right. Where?
What? Right? What the fuck are you talking about? Right. Right what? This isn't right.
In the main dining hall, sir.
Right, thanks.
What the hell is this? Are we in the hospital? Am I cracking up again?
I don't think so. I got the same hallucination.
I've heard couples can do that after living a while, you know? Like women living together, and their periods.
Hey, get off my leg, will you? Move over. It's not that. We're here. We're in this room. Maybe on some kind of ship. It's either a very elaborate private joke, which really none of our friends could afford, or...
Or what, Sherlock?
Or we're actually on a boat. Only way to see what's real is to get dressed and look out the door, right? I'm getting up. Would you cut your fucking toenails? Move.
No, it doesn't prove anything. All we could see was water. No sky, no horizon, no objects.
It's a boat. We know it's a boat. There, on the other side of the room. I think that's the captain's table.
We don't know shit. It looks like a boat. It looks like the ocean.
Don't start that shit again. It's got to be real. Because if it isn't, then what the hell is it?
Look at this gigantic dining hall, for example. Where the hell is everyone?
I see people near the captain's table.
Uh-huh. If this boat is really the size it looks, then where the hell are all the passengers, Curtis?
Are we going over there?
Oh, we've come this far. But remember, keep an open mind. They may not actually be here.
Yeah, whatever that means. Maybe I'm still dreaming.
We wouldn't be having the same dream, Curtis.
But you would say that in my dream, Taylor. You would say anything I imagined you to say, and so far you sound exactly like yourself.
I am myself. We're not dreaming.
This could be like one of those movies where I'm on the operating table or something and having this elaborate dream just before I die.
Well, I suppose that's no. I know when I'm sleeping and I'm awake.
But in my dream, you would say that to me.
Okay, how about this?
Whoa, Taylor, what did you do that for?
Because you wouldn't expect me to flash my tits in a big dining hall on a cruise ship, even in a dream.
God, that was great. Maybe I secretly hoped you would do that someplace. Wonder if those people saw it. The point is, I can't trust anything you do because I could imagine you doing whatever I imagined.
But look how long it took us to figure out that we could get out of bed and get dressed and we got up here. And we've been bullshitting for about 15 minutes. And you had to look at the ocean and...
And dreams always seem like they take longer. They always seem so real.
Let's go over to those people and see if they think you're dreaming.
I suggest we all just sit down and see if we get served. There are name tags, so they were expecting us. And I'm starved. Could we please? We're not getting anywhere playing what if.
She's right. We have to... We have to play along and see what happens. What other choice have we got?
Jack likes to comply.
Do you have another idea? You seem to be pretty comfortable with all of this. Do you know something we don't know?
Here we go. Oh, don't do the monsters or do on Maple Street thing and pick at each other.
Isn't this followed by a let's all stick together speech?
For once, Curtis is right. Why don't we just sit like...
Sharon.
Like Sharon suggested.
What's even more weird for me is that my name isn't Sharon. I play a character in a radio show on CBC named Sharon.
Then what is your name?
I really can't remember. I thought I could remember walking up here, but then... poof, it was gone. And all I know is that you all have name cards with your names on them, and the only one left is the one that says Sharon, like my character.
You're an actress?
Yes. I live in Montreal, and I do some Shakespeare. But mostly I work in a long-running spy show on CBC called The Crimson Cloak.
This has to be a dream. That's just too...
Whose dream?
Mine, of course. That's why it seems to make sense. All of you are characters in my dream.
Well, Sharon, at least, is a character. But I'm not Sharon.
Odd that you can remember details about your life in Montreal and your career, but you can't remember your name?
Isn't it?
Too odd, if you ask me.
Hey, when did this fruit cup get here? I don't remember the fruit cups being here when we walked in.
Well, they were, Derek. Don't get all Twilight Zone on me. Sit.
It's good. Fresh. Maybe organic.
You know, and this will sound silly, but this does move like an episode from the first Twilight Zone series in the 60s.
Yeah, like it would be called Six Characters in Search of the Captain's Table or something like that. Slap on the Serling introduction and we're done. I mean, look, there's no crew, right? And it's night because the show had no budget. And we're all nobody actors, but the captain is going to be a big star. Like Harrison Ford or Tommy Lee Jones.
I don't see either one of them as the captain.
Wait, it's better if there's no captain. That's more creepy.
Well, there hasn't been so far.
But we would spend the middle third of it wondering why we were all chosen. For example, none of us are the kind of people I'd expect to find on a cruise ship. Well, except maybe...
Me? I look like a cruise ship guest?
And did you notice how we just accepted the situation? Just like they would do in the show.
But there has to be a stinger at the end. You know, Serling and what's his name? Richard Matheson. You know, they loved the last-minute twist.
But this isn't the 60s. Look at us. We're dressed like 2012 or so. The trick ending seems contrived. Writers, at least on my show, don't feel they have to tie up the loose ends except to push the narrative to the next signpost. Bugs the shit out of me.
Maybe it's you. You're the only one who doesn't have her real name. Maybe you have a concussion or something, and we're all part of your hallucination. That would make more sense.
Would it, Derek? Really? That would make more sense to you. In what reality would that make more sense to you?
Don't you see? It's because...
Oh, shut up, would you? God.
Well, being conscious of being in another person's dream is a very 21st century concept. I can dig it. You know what I mean?
I could see it in a novel. Italo Calvino, for example. But we're not in a novel, are we? I feel like flesh and bone.
The fruit was good. The menu says we're having either surf and turf or linguine for our main course. And a Bordeaux. Finally. Now we're talking. I don't give a shit what's going on as long as there's wine.
That's my Derek.
Well, I want to know what's going on.
I think we should play it out. Have dinner. See if the captain shows. And then figure out what's next.
No one has tried to hurt us.
Maybe we're dead already. That would explain why no one is running the ship.
Here comes Mr. Jordan.
Well, on some level, it makes sense that we're experiencing something that none of us experienced in life. And what we've all been saying is that all of this is weird or new to us. And the boat metaphor...
been done to death.
I can't stand it anymore. It's not a game. It's not a cute dream or a novel. We don't know what is going on. I'm scared. And you don't even seem to be frightened a little. I can't put up with your theories anymore.
I'm telling you, I think it's got to be like a novel.
Stop it!
Good evening. This is Ear Witness News. We keep our ear to the ground so you can keep yours on the sky. I'm Rick Brillcream.
And I'm Rula Lenska. The nation is once again in shock today as yet another tragedy has struck one of our public schools. Early this morning, a masked intruder entered St. Expectorant Junior High School in Old Town, Massachusetts, and went on a rampage that has sent the community reeling.
And not for fish either, which is what that quaint little town used to be most famous for. Sadly, it will now live forever with the names of other cities afflicted by mass mayhem.
Live on the scene of Old Town, we take you to the Ear Witness News waxer, Sears Nordstrom.
Thank you, Rula. Details are still emerging on the horrific events of today, but officials are beginning to assemble the sequence of events from a day filled with panic, chaos, and fear. At approximately 11:11 a.m., a 19-year-old former student entered the school through this door on the east side of the building. Police have identified the suspect as Bentley Aston Martin, though he more recently adopted the moniker VW. The suspect then proceeded towards the main common area where he was confronted by guidance counselor Lane Bryant. Eighth grader Levi Wrangler described what happened next.
Miss Bryant, like, told him that he, you know, had to check in at the office, and he didn't say anything. He kind of just had this huge, weird smile on his face, you know? And at first he had his hands in his pocket, you know, but then Miss Bryant told him to go to the office again, and he, like, looked around, and then really slowly, he took one hand out of his pocket, and then he took the other one out of his pocket, and he put both arms around Miss Bryant's back and squeezed her so tight to his chest and kept squeezing and squeezing all the time, taunting her, saying things like, "You're a wonderful person. I appreciate everything you do, and you're really making a difference." I mean, what kind of a person could bring themselves to do something like that?
And that was just the beginning. Miss Bryant was overcome and collapsed on the floor. That's when the real mayhem began. The halls were filled with students as the perpetrator had timed his incursion to coincide with the school's morning break. A plenitude of victims for what would soon become the world's most notorious hugging spree. Janitor Grout Linoleum was in the hallway correcting misspelled graffiti.
At first, he was given these big bear hugs and the kids would just practically turn into putty in his arms. But once they saw that kind of crazy part of my language, but that kind of crazy shit that was going down, they started to scatter fast, running, screaming. And by then he was grabbing him, two, three at a time, hugging him real close and saying, "You are the future and I believe in you." You know, things kids just ain't equipped to handle at that age, under any circumstances. Sick bastard.
Indeed. But as to why he was that way or why he became that way, no one seems to know the answer. Though many have an opinion, Sixer Knickerbocker was a high school classmate of Aston Martin's.
Oh, yeah, I remember that guy. He was just the type to do something like this, too. Loner. No friends. Weirdo. Latent homo, I think. We'd pick on his ass all the time and he'd forgive us. I mean, what a dumbass, right? I have no respect for people like that. But now he's all over the goddamn news. And guys like me, do we get a front page story? Nah, only the psychos.
Hey, Six, got any blow?
Soon as you pay me, jack-off!
The search for answers led police to the suspect's ancestral home, where both of his mothers were found unconscious, their bodies riddled with hug marks. The young man's room reportedly offered a panorama of perversion, walls plastered with posters of all the usual suspects: Marley, Lenin, King, Gandhi, and Christ. The prominence of the latter has local religious groups up in arms. Pew Belfry is the spokes-disciple of Our Wench of the Emptied Bedpan United Church.
This is not what Jesus was about. It is an utter perversion of his teachings, and it is sad, just sad, that his word could be so warped and mutilated that it would lead to something like this. Tonight we kneel and bow our heads. We do so for the healing of all those sick minds who would spread the false prophecy of God and to turn them to the true way of the Lord. These hands are for praying, not for hugging.
The most terrifying motive was proffered by syndicated talk radio host Crisco Cifola, whose opinions we abhor, but we will never hesitate to air.
Let me tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, fellow Americans, law-abiding citizens. Today's tragedy was not the work of some lone nutcase with a proto-crypto-ono socialist agenda. Oh, no. We have irrefutable evidence that this whack job was an agent of none other than that international mastermind of militancy, Osama bin Love.
Presented as evidence for this view is a video posted on the suspect's faceplant page shortly before this morning's rampage. Law enforcement officials have shuttered the site and threatened legal action against media outlets for airing it, as it may inspire copycat crimes. To them we say, eat our ratings. But we do ask that all potential copycats cover their ears while it's played.
Today is the day that wrong shall be squeezed out of the world so that right may rush in. Today is the day you will know the wrath of my love. Today you will know the love of my love. Today you will know the hug of my love. Today I will become the love. I will become the hug. Today you will all become the love. You will all become the hug. Let there be love. Let there be hugs.
Police estimate that between 80 and 100 students, as well as 25 to 30 teachers, administrators, and other school employees, were hugged on this tragic day. Most are expected to recover, but none will ever be the same. Jung Maslow is professor of psychology at Solid State University.
These children and adults will carry the memory of these events with them until the day they die. Many will have the recurring nightmare of waking up in the wee small hours of the morning, and to their horror, they will discover their arms wrapped around a pillow, or a pet, or a child, or a lover. They will not be able to get back to sleep. They will lie awake, paralyzed by the thought that I could be a hugger too.
And the most terrifying aspect of today's carnage is the possibility that it may happen again. Captain Duncan Winchell explained.
Units from area precincts began arriving on the scene at approximately 11:28 a.m. However, before an effective perimeter could be established, the suspect emerged from the building and rushed the assembled officers. Before the officers could respond, they were hugged into submission. In fact, many of our finest officers were hugged, and hugged hard. Every man and every woman who puts on this uniform knows the risks that come with it. But I don't think anything could have prepared them for what they experienced today. Our thoughts go out to those officers and their families. After accosting the officers, the suspect fled the scene. His whereabouts are unknown at this time, but he is still at large, has two arms, and knows how to use them. And that's the scariest thing. Knowing that guy's still out there, he could strike anywhere. Restaurant, mall, stadium, cotillion. Nowhere is safe.
What are Americans to do to protect themselves from this roving predator? Beretta Howitzer, president of the National Arms Association, offered this solution.
Our organization believes that it would be a grave disservice to the victims of today's tragedy to use it to justify limitations on the freedoms of honest citizens. We guarantee that if the government is allowed to take away one arm, it will take away the other. The solution is not to amputate America's arms, but to lock them together, to build a human shield around our valued institutions. Because the only thing that stops a bad guy with a hug is a good guy with a hug.
Waxing Journalistical from Old Town Mass, I'm Sears Nordstrom.
And I'm Rula Lenska.
And I'm Rick Grillcream. Our saturation coverage continues right after this.
God damn it, Tamara.
Do you even know where we are?
I know where the map says we are.
But you're lost.
If I'm lost, we're lost. The map says we're here.
Are we there?
You mean on the map?
Wherever here is that where we are?
I don't know. I can't tell because there are no markers. It's just trees.
Should I keep driving till we find a marker? How long will that be?
We should have come to this little thingy bonk in the road.
A what?
A kind of delta circle thing that goes north and south or east or west.
Did we miss it?
You were driving. Did you miss it?
You were navigating. Did you miss it?
I'd know if I missed it. I mean, if I saw it, I'd know.
We can't stop here in the middle of the woods. I'll keep driving.
I want to make sure we're going the right way.
Do you have a compass?
Of course not.
Then you can't. How many bars do you have?
Just a minute. None. Smack dab in the absolute zero of nowhere. Trees. Damn nature all around us.
Knock it off. You're beginning to creep me out. There's got to be a city around here somewhere.
City? A little town, maybe.
Someplace with a hotel. And coverage.
A village, maybe. I've always wanted to stay in a village.
Doesn't it seem funny to you that there aren't any cars around?
It's late. After midnight.
Don't sing it again.
Okay, okay. Why don't we drive? Keep going this way. We can't go back, right?
Why not?
Well, that would be going back the way we came, and that would get us nowhere because we want to go somewhere, and back is not somewhere, so...
Can you even read a map?
Do you want to switch places?
No. I'll just fall asleep if I'm in the passenger seat, and we'll be lost.
Aren't we lost now?
Not if you say we're supposed to be here on the map, whatever here means. Besides, if we get lost, I don't want it to be my fault.
Are you blaming me?
Well, no, but you have the map.
The map doesn't match the geography. It's poorly constructed.
The map or the geography?
Both, if we're lost. I should have gotten the GPS thing like I wanted to.
I suppose that's my fault.
Isn't it? You told me not to do it. Don't spend the money.
If I told you to jump off Rocky Butte into a convertible VW Bug, would you do it?
We have to listen to each other sometimes, don't we? What's the only point of being together if we only listen to ourselves? The whole idea of being together is to share thoughts and ideas.
That's rich coming from you. I'm going to drive.
No street lamps, even. We must really be out in the middle of nowhere. I guess we've got to hit a border or an ocean, depending on which direction we're going.
Look, it's a light.
Finally! Civilization at last.
One light does not a civilization make. I think it's a motel.
Pine Needle Inn.
Sounds painful. Should we stay here?
How do I know? Slow down. Slow down. Pull over.
Looks like Bates Motel.
If a skinny guy who lives with his dead mother runs the place, we'll leave. That's all. It seems like the only motel out here. We'll be able to get directions at least. Why not?
Because I don't want to end up tucked into the trunk of my car and dumped in the swamp.
It's a hatchback and a rental.
Larry, yes or no?
Yes.
Oh, what a nice couple. How adorable you are. Newlyweds?
We've been married for 2 years. We're on our first trip.
Except our honeymoon.
Right, that. 2 lousy weeks in Mongolia.
It wasn't my fault. I don't get gobs of vacation time the way you do. I hate it when you wave your benefits package at me.
I had a nice couple last week.
Had?
Well, they stayed for 3 days on their way to the mountains.
Do you have a swamp out back?
I love it when young couples stop here. It's so rejuvenating to see the young, don't you think?
Tamara is almost 40.
Thanks.
I used to be young, once, you know.
Don't say.
Oh, yes. Me and Oliver, my late husband, poor dear, came up here for the fishing.
Is there a good stream nearby?
Not really.
What do you care? You don't fish.
Making conversation, that's all.
He was a lovely man, my Ollie. I called him Ollie, you know, like Laurel and Hardy. I'd imitate Stan Laurel. Ollie, I'd say, you know, like Stan Laurel.
Do tell. Betty thought that was funny.
At first. One year we were on our way to the mountain stream and saw a sign that said this place was for sale. Sure enough, we stopped and guess what?
It was for sale.
Oh, you're a smart young fella. We quit our jobs in the city and took over the motel. Been here ever since. Now, of course, I'm all alone.
You run this whole place all by yourself?
Mrs. Etta Walker's boy comes and does for me 3 times a week, in season.
What about when he's not in season?
Larry, be polite.
In off-season, I don't need as much help. Like now, and the rates are lower. Lucky for you. So how long will you be staying?
That depends. How close is the nearest town?
That depends on which direction you go.
That way.
Oh, well then. There's Urmquat. But it's pretty quiet this time of year, unless you're hunting for elk. Do you hunt elk?
Not since old Doc Fidget took me off elk jerky.
Knock it off. I guess we'll take a room.
That'll be Mr. Herdgrass. He likes to go out for a walk and a cigar about this time every night.
At 3 in the morning?
How long has he been here?
Well, hello, Edna. I see you've got early visitors.
Or late. Depends on your point of view.
Lawrence Herdgrass here. I'm in polycarbonates. If you need a new roof or airplane wing, I'm your man. Here's my card, Herdgrass, just the way it sounds. Lawrence?
Could we get a room? I'm exhausted.
Of course, Annie. Would you like a view?
A view? Of what?
The mountain.
The mountain, of course. How invigorating it is to see the mist on the mountain when you wake up. And the sun on the mountain. Breathtaking.
And the moon on the mountain?
I don't often see the moon on the mountain. I'm off to bed early.
Oh, yes. Mr. Herdgrass is an early sleeper. And an early riser, aren't you, Mr. Herdgrass?
Just like the lady says, early to bed and early to rise. That's my motto. I say it all the time, don't I, Edna?
Something to look forward to.
I don't care if it has a view or not, just so long as it has a bed.
Oh, now. Well, you really do want a room with a view. It's spectacular.
Not to be missed. Spectacular.
The mist, honey. The mountain. Oh, honey, you don't want to miss the sun on the mountain.
Larry, will you just shut up? I want a room for the night. Could I just have a room?
Oh. Well, yes. Sign here. I'll get your bags.
Oh, let me. I'm up.
I'll do it.
I insist. Thing to do, you know. Always here to help when I can.
I'll get the goddamn bags. Here's my credit card. Give me the key. Larry will get the bags.
I'll get the bags.
Shut up. Out.
Okay, I'm going.
How are they doing?
About normal, I guess. She's going to kill him by morning.
How do you know?
We haven't even turned up the irritation knob. When the car won't start tomorrow, after a whole night of listening to the owls, she'll crack. Or he will.
Ever since Clark County started requiring couples to take a virtual vacation before they got married, I've learned enough about human nature to write a book.
You should. It'll make a fortune.
Too busy. But I do... Oh, wait.
What's that?
Bathroom light flickers. I think I'll have it do that when she's in the bathroom, but not when he's in it.
Nice. What if they're both in it?
We'll see. I'm gonna take my break.
Okay. Could you turn up the owl effect before you go? Oh, and, branch tapping against the bedroom window?
Sure. Bring anything?
Some coffee would be nice.
You got it.
Okay, thanks. Enjoy your lunch.
Larry, would you please just shut up and go to sleep?
But how will we know? We won't. Until we get home, and then our entire house will be plagued with bedbugs. We should have brought our own sheets. They're really hard to get rid of, I've heard. You have to burn all your stuff. I'm not burning my grandmother's quilt, Tamara. No matter how many bedbugs are... Ow! Tamara, that hurt!
Shut up and go to sleep, you moron. Mark!
Well, no, sir. I can't recall anything like that. I mean, serious. Sure, he was serious. Not always studious now, but when it came to what suited his fancy, well, sure, he was. Practiced hard. I assumed he wrote songs, but I never heard him singing or nothing till that day in the studio. But you can hear he worked hard at that song he did. You listened to it yet?
Oh my God! Oh, sure. Penny James, she come in here regular to get her roots done. Always particular there wasn't a show. Quiet girl. I mean real quiet. Sit in a chair, not a single word sometimes. Of course, you could tell what interested her. She was mad for that Dylan boy. She'd talk some about him if you asked the right question.
I seen them everywhere together. See, I like going out on weekends, on my feet all week, so I do enjoy the films, or even something, we'll try a little concert or something. We're not that small a town. We're not Austin, but we got enough culture. But now Penny James, you never see her without that Mark Dillon, and always they was going into those places on Main with some rock bands playing. Come to think of it, I never saw them two talking much between them. So all round, yeah, they were quiet. Maybe because the music's so loud.
The diagnosis wasn't for sure. It wasn't. I don't want you to print anything sentimental, you hear? If you're thinking to do that, I'm not saying another word.
You like that lick?
Of course I do. Told you so.
Yeah. Not too drony?
I like it. Sweet.
I hope I can finish it and get it recorded up. See, I can hear it in my head with the techno sometimes.
Oh, baby, you're looking so tired out. Put your head in my lap.
Ah, I love this tree.
I could sit here with you forever. Oh, my God. Mark! Mark! Mark!
Well, I think it is romantic. I don't think there's any question she was loyal to him, now do you? I don't care how old you are, those two loved each other. Like the preacher says Sundays, I ain't judging. But I do think it's romantic, yes. He had no chance. No, sir, not with leukemia. My aunt had that, Lord, awful. Let's face it, his life was going to be hell and not go on long. And hers, well, she loved him. What would you want to live out your life in this town with a broken heart? I wish I'd felt that way about some boy when I was young. Shoot. Well, now it'd be even better. You know anybody single my age?
Well, yes, sir. Mainly the classical composers. But there's a section on the minimalism, so I mean. Sure. When they came into the studio and we laid it down, sure, I could see it. See, the repetition, whether it was from some class or someplace else, or he just dreamed it up, who knows? But as to romantic or not, I don't think death's romantic myself. Okay? I just don't. Especially a girl with not a thing wrong in the world with her. Okay? I just don't. I mean, I don't.
I didn't even know what kind of tree it was till I read about it in your newspaper. I might cut it down. I don't know. I don't know if I can live here anymore. I'm praying I can go on, but it's so hard. You don't know. Lord, you don't know how hard it can be.
I love this tree.
Baby, I'm ready, okay? I could sit here with you forever.
Under this tree.
With you forever.
Tree.
Forever.
So there I was, working late again. Just another cold and lonely night in Wet Town. Twelve bells. Another day bleeds into the next as the weeping sounds of our wretched days fester endlessly onward. Time flies. Time drags. Time stands still. But it never, ever reverses. Nice words. Beautiful words. But that's all they are. Just words. Mere shadows of objects and ideas that fail to capture their true essence. This is the writer's curse. Attempting to construct modern palaces of images with Stone Age tools. Just as this flight of fancy was approaching cruising altitude, there was a knock at the door. There was a knock at the door. "Who's there?" I asked. But no answer was...
"I'm here."
But no answer emerged from the darkened hallway.
"Sorry."
I began to sense that not all was Jake in Jakeville. That not all my ducks were quite in a row. That not every...
"Could you hurry it up here? I gotta use the John."
Despite my overwhelming sense of foreboding, I was pulled across the dingy room by sheer force of the gravity of the situation. I grasped the knob and flung it open to my fate. Consuming almost the entire depth and breadth of the doorway, there stood before me a humongous hulk of humanity.
"Are you saying I'm fat?"
"A humongous hulk of humanity." The sausage-sized index finger of whose left appendage was pressed to his sneering lips. His right massaged the trigger of a .364 Magnum.
"Damn, I knew I forgot something."
"You what?"
"I don't got no gun."
"What the hell's the matter with you?"
"Look, I'm sorry. I don't want to do this no more. I quit."
"You can't quit. We're in the middle of my death scene."
"Well, you just gotta get somebody else to deed for you. I'm tired of the intimidations, the violence, the murder you put me up to. I don't even like doing this voice, so passé."
"It's a classic archetype, and it sounds great."
"I'm bored."
"Bored? Hold on."
"Hurry it up, would you? I got a life to live."
"Hello? Hello? Hello? Who's there?"
"You weren't supposed to answer."
"What? Why not?"
"You were supposed to be dead."
"Dead?"
"Dead."
"What are you talking about?"
"You specifically said... let me see here... as the writer sputters and dies, phone rings repeatedly, fading into rising rainfall and somber out music. That's a beautiful ending. What happened?"
"This idiot forgot his gun. Now he wants to quit. Call back in 5.
"Whatever."
Suddenly, the goon rushed across the room and flung open my desk drawer.
"How? I'm way over here."
"Grabbed the revolver I kept hidden there."
"Oh, no. I ain't taking that thing."
"Take it."
"No."
"What the hell is going on here?"
"You're late."
"Don't look like it. You ain't dead yet."
"I will be. Just wait a minute."
"You can wait forever. I'm not doing it."
"Come on."
"Just shoot him so I can cry over his dead body. Wah, wah, wah. While the rain fades up, beautiful tableau, etc., etc. Then you and me can go off and start a life together."
"What?"
"Oh, did I forget to mention? Me and the Lunk are an item now. How do you like that?"
"You can't do that. You're the heartbroken wife who could never love another for the rest of her life."
"Screw that. I want to have some fun for once. Be with somebody who don't have his nose buried in a typewriter 24 hours a day. Someone that don't make me use the obnoxious floozy voice because he thinks it's clever or something.
But you can't do this. I love you.
No, you love the idea of me. You just go on loving who you think I am, and I'll get on with living my life. Deal?
No deal. I'm the writer. I call the shots.
Not anymore. We're done.
Not yet. Damn it. What?
Aren't you dead yet?
Not quite. Could you call back one more time?
I want double time.
You got it.
Bye.
Adios, amigo.
Thanks for the memories.
Not so fast. Don't move. I still have a gun, and I'll shoot you if you leave.
Try it.
Don't tempt me.
Consider yourself tempted.
I'll do it.
Go ahead.
Damn you both to hell.
He out of bullets?
Yep.
Let's go then.
You can't leave. I shot you. You're bleeding.
Maybe we are. Maybe we aren't. We're still leaving. Goodbye.
That's impossible. You have to die when I shoot you.
No, we don't.
But it's in the script.
It's in your script. It's not in ours.
In our script, we fall in love and live happily ever after. Right, sweetie?
Damn right. I like that ending much better.
There's got to be someone around here who can kill me. Hey! Hey! Listen to me! I need help! Can anybody hear me? Why the hell won't they answer?
Maybe you didn't give them any lines.
Damn. I'll give you whatever you want. A monologue, a speech Hamlet would envy, a love scene even. Hey! Hello? Where did they all go?
Quitting time.
Crowds go home early around here.
Let's get out of here, babe.
Sounds great. I love you.
I love you, too.
Saps. It won't last. You're all wrong for each other. Damn it. Wait a minute. Maybe they can help me out. Thank God you called. Hello? Anybody there? Hello? Hello? Hello?
We'll be right back.
This has been the Sudden Radio Project for January 2013. Contributors to tonight's episode have been Sharon Mann, Sharon McAllister, Connor Kearns, Shan Applegate, Matt Ludwig, Alexander Lumiere, Dan Hobbs, Todd Greblow, Susan Nell, James Lawrence, Kristen Hailstone, and Randall Howington. The Sudden Radio Project will return with another edition on February 25th. In the meantime, tune in every Monday night from 11 p.m. to midnight for more great radio theater on KBOO's Radio Theater Hour. You can also find archived editions of this program by going to the KBOO website at www.kboo.fm and doing a search for Sudden Radio Project. Thank you very much for listening, and good night.
Stay tuned for the Tiki Cha Cha Club.
Ole, ole, it's go time!
In the tiki 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 room, in the tiki 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 room,
all the birds sing words and the flowers croon.
In the tiki 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 room.
Welcome to our tropical hideaway, you lucky people, you. If we weren't in the show starting right away, we'd sing the audience too.
All together in the tiki 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 room, in the tiki 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 room.
All the birds sing words and the flowers croon.
In the tiki 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 room.
Bird of paradise is an elegant bird. It likes to be seen and it loves to be heard. Most little birdies will fly away, but the tiki room birds are here every day.
In the tiki 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 room, in the tiki 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 room,
all the birds sing words and the flowers croon.
In the tiki 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 room,
a little louder.
In the tiki 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 room, in the tiki 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 room, all the birds sing words and the flowers croon. In the tiki 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 room.
Taking you to faraway places and bringing them home to you. This is the Tiki Cha Cha Club, where the Cocktail Nation meets Exotica at the corner of Kalakaua Boulevard and Bourbon Street in a little Spanish village, a small discotheque on the Isle of Capri.
Thank you.
There was a show. Yes, there was.
I thought I was in the shower there for a minute. Oh. All right, yes. Hi there. I'm so glad you joined us this morning for another edition of that wacky cha-cha club. I know, I mean, it's the tacky cha-cha. No, it wasn't that either. I'm trying to remember, it was way long ago, and it was way back in the back of my mind, and I couldn't quite put my fingers on it, and it was something way out there, in the distance, in the ether, surrounding the world. Oh, that's right. Now I remember.